Harbor Church, we are a family of God, bound together to glorify and enjoy Him forever. This podcast series is a safe way to answer the questions that you, our community, has concerning the Bible, its tenets, and any other theological questions or concerns that you have come across as you join Harbor in our mission here in Mooresville and dig deeper into God's message, study His mission here on earth, or ponder your place in His wonderful plan. Thank you for dropping your anchor with HarborCast as we look forward to bringing light to these questions, big and small.
Welcome again to HarborCast, the official podcast of Harbor Church PCA in Mooresville, North Carolina. And I have a super special guest today, Bethany Wildeman, who has been a member of our church for a while, has left us down to sunnier parts of the globe. She's here to talk with us about a pretty difficult, and I think we were talking right before this, fairly complicated question. About is prenatal genetic engineering useful for human use, or are we playing God with that sort of thing? Now, before we get into all that stuff, just tell us a little bit about where you are, what you're doing, and what your kind of background in some of this is.
Yeah, of course. So I moved from North Carolina down to Houston, Texas. And here I'm working with MD Anderson, the Cancer Center, in a leukemia department. So I'm still very new to the field, but I've enjoyed it here. Previously, I did my undergrad at Liberty University, and that was in cell and molecular biology. And then I did my master's at Wake Forest.
A very good school.
Biomedical science, yes. Very good school. So it's always been a field that I've been involved in, and I very much enjoy it.
Yeah. What, I mean, was there something that particularly drew you to genetics and stuff like that? Or is that you just sort of found your way into it and kind of liked it?
Genetics, it's one field of biology that is kind of across the board. So no matter what field you go into, leukemia, cancer research, or radiation work, you're going to have genetics involved. Mm. So it wasn't intentionally my focus, but I've been involved with each step that I've gone through. So something that you have to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, neat. And then just as before we get into the topic, I also thought about this question as well, knowing some of the conversations we've had together. So you're in the hard sciences, you're doing genetics. How does that square with your faith, or how have you seen your faith help you in your job, or helped to your job help to ground your faith?
I think it can be hard at times, for sure, but in some ways, I like it. The whole thing is very fascinating to me, of how much our body does that we don't even have to think about. Mm. And I think it's very easy to see a design in those things. Like, 'cause you can study and study and study, but then you sit back and you're like, as much as I learn, I'm not telling my body to do these things.
Right.
Like, it has all the information to do it on its own. And like, I don't have to, you know, think about how many battles my white blood cells fought today. You know, I don't have to consciously think about that. Mm-hmm. But it's all in place, and it's been there every day.
Right, right.
And I think that's something that, you know, maybe we don't always take or appreciate as much as we could. But again, like, even seeing that design component, I think it just brings us back to God and what He's set in place for us.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I've used this sermon illustration before, but you know, if we think about every computer you and I at least have ever used, it's based on ones and zeros. It's a binary, you know, two variables. And the most sophisticated computers of our time right now are quantum computers, which are trying to use basically three digits. And yet DNA has four chemical markers beyond any computer that we've designed. And somehow two cells just read this rocket science that is mitosis and everything else, and all of a sudden a human being is formed with complex systems we can't even really quite grasp. Yeah, it's really fascinating. I have enjoyed listening to your work over the years. So let's get on the topic here. So the original question, I'll read it to you, is prenatal genetic engineering useful for human use, or does it encourage playing God, making babies to become like a product, if you will? Do you have any initial thoughts? I mean, how would this sort of thing even happen?
Yeah, so like we currently have gene therapies available. Most of these are targeted towards, you know, adults, right? Not prenatal. And in some ways, if we can, you know, introduce or correct a gene that might have, you know, a mutation that causes disease, then you don't have the disease anymore. So there's all kinds of therapeutic purposes for it, but it's very new still. So we have to be very, very careful in those instances. And the only diseases that are really under trials right now are the ones that can't be treated any other way. So it has potential, but for prenatal, it's very, very different. You're working with cells that, you know, haven't fully differentiated. So there's a potential for, you know, curing harder to reach diseases, genetic diseases, but at the same time, there's the potential for more risk as well. And then there's also all these ethical considerations that have to be, you know, made. And yeah, it's a very hot topic in science for sure. There's tons of like ethical boards that try to answer this question as well, like how far do we go? How far is too far? Are
Right.
we ready to even attempt that?
Right.
And they work through a lot of those questions as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even thinking about, I know, you know, this dates me a little bit, but I remember lots of discussions over stem cells and, you know, the possibilities of stem cells. And I remember that, you know, for certain things, you know, stem cells could be game changers, but at the same time, the risk of tumors and things like that, stem cells getting out of hand, there's always a cost to the benefit as well. And like you said, you know, when you're talking about prenatal cells, some of those systems haven't even formed yet, depending on what we're talking about. So how, from a science perspective, how far away are we technology-wise? Like, is making my next child, I don't know, I'm a little vertically challenged, so 7 feet tall, you know, 300-pound center. How far away are we? Is that like we could have done it a few years ago, we could do it now, or that's so far it's a little science fiction-y?
So, unfortunately, there is one famous case of in your utero gene editing. And so, in some cases, like it has happened, but only on a very, very small scale. And in that case, the research was unethical, right? It wasn't under the same regulations that, well, we actually didn't have many regulations at the time. And I think since that incident, I think that was in 2018. Like twins were born, they were fine and everything, but it opened the door to all these questions that we need answers to today. And since then, I think it's been more of a topic that we have regulations over and are more protected about the research involved.
Right.
So in some cases, like there is that happened not too long ago. But in other ways, can we like change the appearance and do more than just a simple gene edit? I think we're very far away from that. Like I know a lot of people are like, oh, like eye color, like changing eye color, even changing gender. Like those are things that we probably should have answers to soon. But it's still very, very complicated, and I'm not sure we're even willing to address those or willing to attempt those research topics right now.
Right.
Because there's so much we don't know, and we are aware of that.
Right. Well, and especially, I would imagine, you know, obviously there are, you know, animal experimentation, things like that. But, you know, when you start doing human trials, this is not a 40-year-old man who's trying a pill to see if it would reduce his prostate. This is a whole human life that could be set up for success or ruined, you know, by a simple gene edit. You know, what if you're wrong, or what if there was a mistake or calculations weren't there? I could imagine that that's a, just even attempting the thing can be a rather tenuous proposition.
Yeah. And that's outside, that's like only, I don't know, when you have the choosing physical appearance and you can justify it by like, oh, we're improving the life of this, you know, this child because, you know, if they're more attractive, maybe they'll go farther. If they have this skill or that skill, maybe they'll be able to do more in their life. So it's a benefit to them. But then at the same time, it's also through your lens that you're deciding that. So it's very risky to like make those decisions that might be at the time based off of social pressures and stuff like that as well.
Right. Like the one child policy in China kind of backfired on them because they wanted everybody to just have one child to reduce population, but like culture took over and Confucian culture valued boys over girls. And so they were essentially either aborting or abandoning girls as fast as possible. And so it left this, you know, huge imbalance. So you're absolutely right. The culture can make pressure, can put pressure on some of these decisions that, you know, another culture might make a completely different decision.
Yeah.
So, and I guess maybe one of the big things that I see as a pastor, and I think it's one of the most necessary things that we need as a society and as a culture, is we don't have anymore a definition of what is normal or what is normative, right? So, so the Bible would describe human beings as being image bearers. They're made in God's image. They're made male and female, and so there's a sense in which you could generally tell, well, this is abnormal and this is a sickness and this is something that's worth us pursuing to fix, and this is something that's normal that might be different, might even be hard, but it's within the realm of now we're calling this cosmetic, or we're calling this outside of the scope of healing, we're manipulating. And I think that one of the things I see is that because we don't have any more, oftentimes, a definition of what is normal, it seems like every category has become normal in a sense, or abnormal in a sense. You know, the old category of saying, well, does it heal, or does it is it just something that's extra? That's a tricky thing, like you said. It might be worthwhile to fix maybe a scoliosis or something like that, because you're healing somebody and giving their life back to them. But eye color, well, somebody might think that's super important to them. But
yeah,
whether your eyes are green or blue or brown, those are normal eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And like, even going back to the whole science fiction aspect of it too, I feel like as extreme as science fiction can be, in regards to like real current science, it also gives us a space to explore those ideas, I think, a little bit more safely and legally than in the lab.
Right.
We can play around with like what those ideas might look like if we did take it to the extreme.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of movies out there about, designer babies and stuff already, and they like work through those same problems, and it's easy to see like, oh, okay, that's what could happen if we're not careful. I mean, a very extreme scale, but
yeah like the movie Gattaca, I think is a good example of that. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but there's two, I think they're either brothers or twins, and one is a designer baby and one is completely natural, and the trajectories of those two kids as they grow up is very different. Yeah, and I think that, really what I see as most necessary for some of these questions, and I think that that our culture isn't really set up well to answer some of these questions, is when you've removed the idea of a designer, right? That the God, there is actually God out there, and that He's actually designed us for a purpose. Then we're kind of left to our own devices as human beings. And, from what I've seen in taking college courses and in ethics, most of the time in philosophy, most of it was based on feeling, right? So what gives us the ick and what doesn't give us the ick? And right now this gives us the ick, but maybe in time we'll change our minds and it won't be so icky. Do you see that sort of thing in your own circles that you swim in?
I think at times, yeah. The more you are involved in any topic, the more you get comfortable with it. So I think there is a risk of that. What does 100 years look like from now in the sciences? Well, this might look like, very ancient and like, oh my gosh, they thought this way.
Right.
100 years from now, it'll be very, very different. So I think there is a potential for that. And we do need to have, some sort of guidelines in place before things change too quickly. I know for as Christians, we look at the Bible, and science isn't always aligned with the Bible at times. So I think that's something to be praying for as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And a bit of a hobby horse for me, and you're a great example of this, is I think that as Christians, I think sometimes because we can't distinguish between science, the method, and science, the worldview, right? Mm-hmm. So science, the method, anybody can practice because mm-hmm. it's just using God's design. Science, the worldview, is atheistic, it's Darwinistic, and mechanistic. And I think a lot of Christians are rightly upset about the worldview of science. And so they kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater and sort of avoid the sciences, at least the method. And so I think we need more people like you who are committed Christians who are willing to dive into the sciences and lend a voice to some of these concerns, because it's not just genetics and it's in all sorts of areas of sciences, whether the softer or the harder sciences. So thank you for being faithful in your circles.
Thank you. It's not that simple, but
So anything else you might want to add to the discussion we haven't touched on?
I think overall, I don't think we'll ever be able to take credit for what's already been designed for us.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like playing God, I think we can pretend, but
right.
God's done such a good job already. Right now, we don't come anywhere close to what he's already given us.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to end it. So on this podcast, I always like to close in prayer. So would you pray with me? All right. Lord God, thank you so much for Bethany. Thank you for the ways in which you have put her sovereignly in these places to be able to be a light in darkness. I pray that you would help her to continue to be a good scientist and Christian. Please, Lord God, we pray for mercy for our society and our culture, Lord, that just doesn't know what to do with your creation because they've thrown out the Creator. Please, Lord God, help us to see the beauty of your creation. And Lord, I pray that you would please help us to be light and salt to this world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for dropping your anchor with HarborCast. Please visit us on the web at harborchurch.org for more information about what we believe, what we do to serve our community, and how you can get involved in our mission here in Mooresville. And finally, follow HarborCast wherever you listen to podcasts. May the Lord continue to equip you to share the good news about Jesus.